Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed, and it's Thursday, which means it's Author of the Week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. And our author today is John Burke, author of the New York Times bestseller, Imagine Heaven, an international speaker. He's addressed hundreds of thousands of people, 30 countries, topics of leadership, spiritual growth, and the exhilarating life to come. And his follow-up book to Imagine Heaven is Imagine the God of Heaven. And I thank you so much for being here. Sarah, my producer, had actually heard an interview that you had done elsewhere and was like, oh, you've got to check this out. And then while booking this, setting it up, a number of people internally they just heard your name and said, Imagine Heaven. I said, this is actually the follow-up to it. So it's very I love this sort of stuff. As a believer in God, specifically, you know, Christian and in Christ, you know, there's hope in this. And I find beyond just the biblical component and the, quote, faith of it all, I love when the scientific aspect of it gets involved, which so oftentimes gets overlooked. So if we could start off a little bit about Imagine Heaven. I know you've got Imagine the God of Heaven as the follow-up, but for people that aren't familiar, talk to us a bit about Imagine Heaven.
Yeah, well, I wrote Imagine Heaven in 2015, and it really comes out of my kind of bizarre obsession with trying to figure out what are these things called near-death experiences, yeah, and how do they fit with what God's revealed in the Bible. And it goes all the way back. I was an engineer by trade before I became a pastor. And I was an agnostic when my dad was dying of cancer. This is like, you know, 40 plus years ago. And someone gave him the very first research that coined the term near-death experience. So for those who aren't familiar, this is when people clinically die. So literally no heartbeat, no brain waves, some for minutes, some for hours. I've interviewed people, they've shown me the hospital records, an hour and 45 minutes with no brain waves, you know, no heartbeat. And yet they are resuscitated, they come back, and they consistently talk about they were more alive than they've ever felt, in a place more real than this has ever felt, and many times in the presence of this God of light and love, whose presence they never wanted to leave, knew them intimately, you know, love them with a love that they couldn't even explain in words. So I read this when I'm still an agnostic, and I was like, oh my gosh, maybe this is the evidence I've been looking for. Because as an engineer, I was always like, yeah, well, how do you know? I mean, Jesus, the Son of God, and, you know, afterlife. I mean, it all sounds good, but there's just no evidence. And here was possible medical evidence. And so I began, that began me on a journey, which actually I came to faith studying the Bible after that, because so many of them talked about this God of love and Jesus. And so for the last 40 years, I have studied close to 1,500 cases of near-death experience, you know, really focused on clinical death and resuscitation and the commonalities of what they say. So Imagine Heaven is the culmination of that research and looking at the 40 commonalities of what they consistently say. And this is all across the globe of what happens when they clinically died. And then I'm showing how all 40 of them align with the expectation of the afterlife in the Bible that God's given us all along. So that's kind of Imagine Heaven.
All right, and then Imagine the God of Heaven. Is it almost a part two? Is it a continuation? Is it more expansive?
Yeah, so in Imagine the God of Heaven, I actually interviewed 70 people on every continent from every religious background, and I'm really showing how the consistent commonalities of what they're saying is really pointing out the story of God and who God has been revealing himself to be as the God of all nations, you know, all the way back to Genesis 12, you know, when he says, I'm going to bless all the nations through this one nation. And so I'm showing the whole history and story, but also the character and the attributes of God both what is in the scriptures, but through the eyes of these people. And we're talking people who should not, this would not be their cultural expectation mm-hmm. of God. And yet consistently they're meeting the same being, the same God.
Well, that's when I might bounce around a little bit, and forgive me for doing so on this. But I, one of the things that I hear themes, I guess, people that are skeptical say is, well, you know, it's almost like a dream. People, it's you know, they hear stories about near-death experiences, or they grow up hearing about heaven and, oh, well, when you die, you'll see grandma. And so that's what they think that they're seeing. And what one of the things that it sounds as if you found here is that it wasn't, these experiences were not based off of cultural or any sort of expectation. They were just consistent regardless of religious or cultural affiliation. Is that correct?
Well, yes. And in, I have a chapter 2 in Imagine the God of Heaven that is all about skeptics, science, and near-death experiences. And it's the 10 points of evidence that convince me that this cannot be brain-based. And of course, that's what, you know, skeptics like Dr. Michael Shermer or others, on my podcast, I even show his clip on Joe Rogan, you know, where they're talking about, no, you know, we know that near-death experiences are just brain-based. They're in the brain. So I give 10 points of evidence that alternate explanation does not make sense of. I'll give you just 3 of them.
Please.
So verifiable observations. So when people clinically die, they say they rise out of their bodies. They're still themselves. In fact, more alive than they've ever been. And not just with 5 senses, more like 50 senses. But they're also able to observe what's going on in the room where their resuscitation is taking place. So I've interviewed cardiologists who started to study this, and they, Dr. Michael Sabum, the cardiologist who told me, my patients told me things that I did resuscitating them that I could have used the tape, you know, the recording to teach other physicians how to do resuscitation. There's no way they should have known all those No. techniques, and yet they were able to describe them. And so there's actually been a study done of 100 cases of near-death experience from cardiac arrest, making verifiable observations that could, you know, then be checked out or not. And they found that 92% of their observations were completely accurate. Another 6% were mostly accurate. Only 2%, which turned out to be one patient in the study, were inaccurate. So we're talking about something that grounds these experiences in our reality in a way that couldn't just be happening in the brain, because they had no brain waves. Where are they recording these memories? And yet they come back able to have memories of what was happening when their brain was not working. So that's one, verifiable observations. The second is when people blind from birth, and I recount the testimonies of 6 people blind from birth in Imagine Heaven and Imagine the God of Heaven. When they clinically died and had a near-death experience, they could see. And they report seeing all the same things as sighted people having a near-death experience, wow, including things that they would have never heard about on Earth. Because remember, they had no visual concept. Like Debbie in Imagine the God of Heaven, I report on Debbie, who was blind from birth. She falls down on her bathroom floor, had a seizure and stopped breathing. She's up above her body and she watches her mom run in, and she's later able to tell her mom what she was wearing. She was wearing a dark robe, and her mom said, yeah, it was in my black bathrobe. Debbie travels to this place of exquisite beauty where the light of heaven comes out of everything, doesn't shine on things. And it's not just light like we know light, it's light that is love. And so here are blind people consistently describing this that they would not have heard about on Earth. And yet it fits with what other near-death experiencers say as well. then there's this great reunion usually, and Debbie meets her grandmother, who she had never known in life. Okay, she'd never met her, but she meets her grandmother on the other side, and when she comes back, she accurately described to her mother what her grandmother looked like, but her mom said, well, that is what she looked like, but when she was about 30. Well, that's another consistency, is that the people they meet in heaven on the other side typically are in their prime, about 30. So all these things, and this is not just a one-off, this is consistent. So verifiable observations, blind people see, and then, like I said, 48% of people having near-death experiences encounter God, and this is all across the globe. And this God of light and love is not necessarily the God of their cultural or religious expectation, but does align with the God who's been revealing himself, saying he's doing something for all the nations to bring all people back to himself. So that's just those three can't be explained if these near-death experiences are just brain-based.
We are talking with, our author of the week, John Burke, Imagine Heaven, the follow-up, Imagine the God of Heaven. I wanted to ask you sort of your definition, I guess, of evidence, because I think a lot of people who may not necessarily believe this, or, maybe they're just new to hearing about it, and they think, well, these are just a collection of stories. I mean, you find people that have had near-death experiences, and whether it was a dream or this or that, but storytelling isn't evidence. What is it? And you mentioned a doctor in some of the information provided by doctors. What, when you talk about evidence and evidence-based, what does that mean in the context of the information in the book?
Well, that's in both the books. I spend a couple chapters up front discussing the evidence and letting you see for yourself, both through people's testimonies, but also through studies that have been done. I'm not the only one who has studied these for 40 years. There are multiple medical doctors, cardiologists, oncologists. What people don't realize, these experiences and the verifiable nature of them have been reported in 900 scholarly journals, peer-reviewed journals like the Journal of the American Medical Association. Dr. Sabum, who I told you about, the cardiologist, published his accounts. He studied near-death experiences for 5 years to disprove them scientifically and changed his mind. Published in JAMA. The Lancet, Europe's most prestigious medical journal. Dr. Pim van Lommel is a cardiologist in Holland that I interviewed. He published in The Lancet his research and a story of a man who he brought back in the ER, who was comatose in the ER. Then they got his heart going again, rolled him out. He didn't come out of the coma for a week. And in a different room, a week later, he was able to describe everything that happened in the resuscitation, including where the nurse who took his dentures out had put them in the lower drawer of the crash cart. And that's where they found them. He didn't have his dentures. And he said, go, that nurse knows where they are.
you made an interesting comment about how people don't realize, and I agree, about the number of scientific studies that have been done. And I wonder why you think that is, because death is something virtually everyone wonders about, what it's like. Some people may think nothing. Other people, again, based off their faith, may have ideas of what it's like. But I think to some degree, people fear it, a lot of people, just because it's the unknown. It's something we all know that we are going to have to deal with, whether it's loved ones or our own end-of-life experience. For something that is so massive and significant in our lives, that we don't really, quote, know what happens. It seems as if there is a lack of knowledge about the information that there, I don't know, it just seems to me like this would be topic number one so very often. But as significant as it is, it just doesn't seem to get as much attention. And there's so many people out there that don't know about. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's the fear of the unknown. Mm. You know, we like control, but there's fear of things we don't know. And honestly, that's why I wrote Imagine Heaven, because for skeptics like I was, agnostics like I was, to me, this is incredible evidence. But also for believers, this is so hopeful. I mean, when you read Imagine Heaven, it's like going on this journey that you think, like, it can't be that good, but it is that good. I mean, these people are consistently, we're talking about thousands of people consistently testifying to the same reality. That's really what's happening is, you know, we are confined to finite three dimensions of space and one dimension of time, but they're moving beyond that into a world that is more real because it has added dimensions. Yeah. The way I like to use an analogy is, imagine we're living this life on a flat black and white painting in your living room. And so we only have up and down and side to side. We don't even have the dimension in or out. And so death means separation. So imagine at death, your two-dimensional flat self is peeled off that painting and suddenly leaves that world and is brought out into this three-dimensional world in your living room that was around you all the time, but you couldn't even conceive of where. And now you experience yourself, but more alive because you have more dimensions of experience. You experience color. And then imagine getting pressed back into your flat world, resuscitated.
Yeah. Bit of a letdown.
And now imagine trying to describe a three-dimensional experience in color, but in two-dimensional black and white terms. And that's exactly what near-death experiencers that I've interviewed, when I've used that analogy, they say that's exactly what it's like. And so it's very difficult to explain.
But I'll ask a final question because, you know, we're running out of time. And then any final thoughts that you have? And we're talking with our author of the week, John Burke, the book Imagine the God of Heaven. I believe that every single person who dies has the out-of-body experience, then there is the few that get pulled back in. Do you have any thoughts, or just even through conversations or revelations of people who have had the out-of-body experiences or any other sort of evidence, as to why that happens? Is it a spiritual thing? Is it, oh, it is in our time? Or is it just physically something was done to our body that said, nope, we're grabbing you back, soul? What do you think differentiates or causes it to come back?
That's a great question, Nick. That's a $1 million question. And I can't say I have theories, but I can't say I have a definitive answer.
Book three.
This is gonna be, what was that?
Third book, maybe, and a follow-up.
Maybe. I'm going to have to have more understanding myself, because I've asked the same question. And I can't correlate like time physically dead to – it doesn't really correlate.
Yeah.
There does seem to be a consistency of the body and the deterioration of the body with – I believe that God allows certain laws of nature that he's put in place mostly to play out. Can he override them? Yeah, he can, but most of the time he lets them play out. So I think the soul's willingness, the body's capability, and then of course there is the factor of just when it's our time, it's our time.
Sure.
And I think you're right. You know, like, you know, the old, the two certain things of life are death and taxes. And, you know, we don't like taxes, and I guess we don't like thinking about death either. But when you start to imagine heaven accurately, and when you start to see who God is and what he's like accurately, you start to realize that, oh my gosh, this is just the beginning of the greater story. This is just the beginning of life, and life goes on. It's continuous, but in, you know, in expanded ways, in much better ways. And God is way better than we've ever imagined.
Which I find to be very encouraging and good news, and I'm sure so many others do as well. And I know that I can't thank you enough for your time this morning. People listening right now probably have 100 different questions in their head. And of course, much of those I'm sure answered. I would recommend starting with Imagine Heaven and then Imagine the God of Heaven as the follow-up. If you haven't read Imagine Heaven, our author of the week, John Burke, thank you so much for being with us. I really appreciate your time this morning.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
It's the Author of the Week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. I'm Nick Reed.